hosting a pastor's conference in Rwanda. And so Ron McLean was there, and John Micklefield was there, and Rob and a whole bunch of these guys were there, and were teaching and preaching and different things anyway. So as we were there at the conference, they sat me down, and he says, "Dave," so what's that? "Now we understand you. We never understood you in Canada. You never made sense to us. Didn't know where to put you, how to fit you. And now we see how the Holy Spirit uses you here with these people. Now you make sense." And so I appreciated that for what it's worth. John Micklefield, who's coming in a few weeks, I believe, right? He was my teaching, preaching mentor for about 3.5 years. I think I was his worst ever student. After him reviewing my sermons, he says, "Why don't we get together before you preach?" Because he was just, had to change everything every time I preached, right? So I got together with him and I gave him my sermon notes, and he said, "Well, Dave, these are three sermons. This is not just one. These are three sermons. Go home, just make one sermon, have the structure, the teacup has to be there, the order, the application." So I went home and I redid everything and I came back and he says, "Okay, that was good. And you have done your homework, but you have three different sermons now. You don't have one, you have three." And so I was working with Andrew Micklefield. We worked together for 11 years. And frustrated beyond words sometimes, people who would come and hear me preach, as I'm quite sure some of you must be sometimes. And I've come to understand something, and it was Lynn and Andrew and myself that all had a simultaneous revelation from the Lord of the root of the frustration. So let me help you folks with that and hopefully give some clarity. I'm not a teacher. And typically you sit and you want to hear somebody teaching. You will be frustrated. I am an exhorter. An exhorter has one point, and he makes that point over and over and over again. And I can preach for 10 minutes or for 2 hours, and you'll say, "You only had one point." Exactly. That's how it operates. So the sermon title is Naturally Supernatural. Naturally Supernatural Life. The daily activity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're talking about how to live life and what to do. Isn't that a nice picture? And something interesting for me as I try to figure out how to do life. And it's, my wife wanted me to mention your tea setting. So I have to mention that. That's so bad, right? Very nice. Years ago, after my mom died, and Lynn's, all her parents are gone, and different times when, what I found is that as I pray for people, that when somebody dies, I don't pray for them anymore. I don't know if you found that or not, but there's people we pray for regularly, and then the person dies, and it's like, no more praying for them. And that's a good thing. But sometimes when I found myself missing him, and I kind of felt, you know, and the Lord kind of showed me something. I'm not saying this is, John Mick might disagree with me here. What's sometimes given me comfort is when I talk to the Lord, I ask him to greet my mom for me. "Jesus, you're there. She's there with you. If you'd give her a happy Mother's Day today, I'd appreciate that." And so for me, that's been a comfort. And sometimes at funerals and different times when people pass or we miss them, and I think to say, talk to Jesus about them and ask Jesus to greet them. I think that's, I'm okay with that. So this is about the game of life. When I was born again, people told me, now this is what it means to be a Christian, okay? And I discovered that as a Mennonite, born and raised as a Mennonite, that people says, well, it's all about what you don't do. Tell me what you do, or what you don't believe. Tell me what you do believe. Whatever. So Then from there, then I got married. My wife and her family was Baptist. Oh, different set of rules when you're Baptist than when you're Mennonite. But it's okay, because we went to Mennonite Brethren, and her dad said, MB stands for Marginally Baptist, so you're almost there. So we got along just fine. So then we went to Rwanda, where we worked with the Pentecostal church, and they're charismatic Pentecostals, right? And I discovered that they just had different rules, but it was rules. People were living by rules of playing the game. And so I kind of felt today we're going to illustrate with God has called us to a game of ball. And when I was growing up, my brother and I played baseball. Matter of fact, these are the very bats that we used when we were 9 years old. You see, these are baseball bats, but now you would say, no, they're not. Are they? Go ahead, say it. They're softball bats. You see, a baseball bat has a bigger shaft on it, right? This is a softball bat. I didn't know that on the farm where I grew up. It was baseball. What do I know, right? So we played baseball with a ball that was this size. But because as a school we had one ball all year, it got rather soft and mushy. And so to hit a home run, I mean, you had to be seriously committed to hit a home run. So there was rules of how to play. My brother was the pitcher and I was the catcher. And we played and it was great. One day a mechanic came on our farm to work on the farm and he saw my brother and me playing. He says, well, those guys are really good. And he signed me up to play baseball. And I discovered baseball was actually different than softball. Ah, so I remember going to the practices. Whoa, and it was a hard ball. Hallelujah. I mean, this mush we were trying to hit just didn't work. And the bat was twice as big. Oh, this is easy peasy. So I learned about baseball, playing baseball, and throwing overhand. And the ball came with speed. I love that. Finally, not these droopers. I mean, the faster they come, the further they go. Baseball, different rules. Did you know now in baseball, when you watch it and you stand up to pitch, you got 20 seconds and you got to throw the ball or a ball is called. And there's all kinds of rules about what to do and not to do in baseball. So years ago, we had an immigrant that came here from Europe who had never played baseball, but he came to a church picnic, and we said, we're all going to play, scrub ball, where everybody, you know, you play your every position and you bat. So he came to play, and his turn was to bat, so I bat left, and I bat this way, so he grabbed the bat like this. Exactly like that, and I thought, that's a weird way to hold a bat. What is he doing? And then there's home base, and he stood on the base. Okay, now he's waiting for the pitch. This guy is nuts. We said, no, get off the base. No, it's okay. I know what I'm doing. Okay. So he stood there, and the ball got thrown right at him, and he whacked it. Gave it a good hit. We says, now run. So he's running around. He runs to the pitcher. Runs around the pitcher. He's a full adult. And then run. No, we say, go. Go to first base. What is base? What is first base? I don't know. He played cricket. Cricket, you stand on the base. The ball is hurled right at you. He didn't know baseball. He knew cricket. Interesting, wasn't it? So the Lord declares, now we're going to play ball. What's this? This is a different ball. If I go home and I say we're going to play ball, we got a little Yorkie who's going to go ballistic because he knows what this means. Now we're going to play ball. And I'm going to throw it, and he's going to run and get it. Lynn's got a little video on her phone she can show you later if you want, where I'm standing over here and throwing the ball. Our Yorkie runs and gets the ball. She's standing at the patio halfway down, gets the ball, comes running back, stops for 2 seconds, looks at her, shows her the ball, then runs back to me. I do it again. He does the same thing. See, I got the ball, and then comes back to me. It's a great game Helps me get a lot of exercise by having my dog run everywhere. So playing baseball, gloves were invented. When they first started playing baseball, they didn't have gloves. They all played without gloves. That's just how it was. And I remember when I coached baseball, and no matter how old or young the kids were, in spring training we came and we handed out all the baseballs, and I told them to put their gloves away. We're going to play catch without gloves. And they said, "You're crazy." I said, "No, if you don't know how to catch a ball without a glove, you don't know how to catch a ball. So you have to know how to soft catch it. When you don't wear a glove, you learn how to soft catch a ball." And so we would be 2 feet apart and slowly back up and back up so the kids could learn to catch a ball with softball. And it was quite good. And so what happens now, we're going to play ball. Okay, are we ready? Where's the hoop? I got to sink. There. Wait a minute. This is a football. So imagine now, okay, this is a football. Here in Canada, we're saying we're going to play football, and our kids pick up the ball and they start running with it. Wait a minute. You're not supposed to touch it with your hands. It's a soccer ball. Oh, you said football. I know football. We catch it, throw it, kick it. But truth is, in soccer, you can't touch it with your hands. Different rules. What are the rules? Well, you can touch it with your hands if you're goalie. Ah, goalie. So here I am, I'm playing football, now I'm a goalie. And I'm my goalie gloves. And so as a goalie in soccer, I want to carry the ball. No, you're not allowed to carry the ball. You can catch it in a few feet to kick it, but not carry it. Every time you turn around, there's a new rule. I mean, come on. And I found that's what Christianity was for me. And just when I thought, now I'm okay, new set of rules come. Now I'm free in Christ, free to move in the Spirit, to worship, to pray in tongues, speak in tongues. Oh, there's rules. How you do all that? You're free as long as you stay within the rules. This glove, these are actually soccer goalie gloves. And on the thumbs, it says A-P-E-S-T. What does that stand for? Nothing to do with soccer. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. And we're not going to talk about this today. I'm just giving you a foreshadowing of sometime down the road. And God says, this is my gift to you. How you'd play the game. Every team has different positions that you play. This is my gift to you. Satan saw this and he saw there was no way he could win. So Satan said, that's not for today. This is not for today. And this is not for today. All you have is shepherd and teacher. Have a good game. And then at the same time, they said, supernatural doesn't exist anymore. There's the natural and supernatural. There's spiritual and then there's physical. And it somehow got separated. God didn't separate it. Man did. Because if we understand how God works in us and through us, Satan hasn't got a chance. He doesn't want us to know. Natural and supernatural. Did you know the trees communicate? Now I'm going over the deep end. Dave, you got to watch it over there. I've researched this a bit. Did you know when there's trees out there, big, big trees that grow and then little saplings that grow along, did you know that that tree actually identifies the saplings that grow? And in its root system, it sends sugars and food to those little trees to make sure they survive. It is as available to all trees, but trees of their own kind actually get the most nutrients. They test this and discover this with DNA and stuff. It's fascinating stuff. Trees communicate. Be careful. That's why I love that picture. Naturally supernatural life. the daily activity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Next slide. In the world, in a little while, the world will see me no longer, Jesus is saying, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to the Lord. I don't know why anybody in those days would have named their son Judas. Well, he probably got this name before Judas Iscariot betrayed Christ, right? Judas said to him, Lord, how is it you're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus said, and then this is a profound statement. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Father, Son, Holy Spirit will come and set up home inside of each of us. That's crazy. I love how your emphasis on discipleship. Just a little reminder, discipleship primarily happens one-on-one. Not from a pulpit, not with 1,000 people. One-on-one. Just a little reminder. Got to throw that in. Now, we're going to go to Corinthians, that portion there that we had mentioned. Where? What was that reference again? I got it here. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. Now, last week we looked at the communion portion, and this comes immediately after that. And so taking communion, walking in the Spirit, doing life together under the salt covenant, that has a lot of things that maybe someday we'll look into as well, but you can feel free to do that. So I'm going to read this portion in its entirety. There it is, yeah. No, just a minute. Before we do this, there's an example, and we're going to read it here in a second, about the body of Christ. And so what I've done is I made a body out of paper, and I'm stuck it together in here, okay? So I need 15 volunteers to each come and take a body part and here, build the body of Christ. We want to see what it looks like. Don't be shy. They warned you there'd be participation. It won't hurt you. So there's the tax over there. Take a body of part and put it up. I didn't say open it. There's rules, you know. So there you go. You all have a body part in your envelope. Go ahead, put it up. I don't know what if you're the head or the leg, but you just put up the body parts. There you go. You can't look inside. Those are the rules. You got to follow the rules, you know. There we go. We've got legs. We've got something happening here. This is a good thing. No. We're not done. You have to identify these things. We have to figure out how they all work together. Still need more body parts. You know what happens when we don't have all the body parts? Need more volunteers. Come on, you girls. You can come up, too. Kids got body parts. Come on. No? Okay. Lynn, you can come. Work with me. Yes, you can have more than one. That's a rule too. You see, we make the rules as we go along. Doesn't it feel that way in life? That just when you think you got it figured out, somebody comes up with a new rule to counter the rule that you thought you understood. Isn't that true? Go ahead. Now, the picture of the body is given in Scripture to illustrate how we are to work together. Right? Does it look like a body, Larry? Yeah. I would say it probably looks more like a brick wall, which is probably more true about how things are. How we don't connect, how we don't relate. Okay, why don't you take those body parts down and now open them up inside and now put up the body so that we can see what's happening. Because if you don't know what you have or who you are, how are you going to know? Now, by looking at your body part, do you know automatically where it fits? Some of you are going to say, I'm not quite sure where this goes. And you might have to figure it out. So have a look. You got a gross part? Close. Oh, you were close. Go ahead, put it up. You got to tack them up. Use your tacks. Yeah, exactly. We'll find out, won't we? Now you observe that they're looking at the other body parts, they're comparing them, and they're saying, oh, wait, me, this one, mine comes next to yours, yours next to mine. Because all by yourself, just looking at your body part, you can't quite figure out where it goes or what it does. Mm-hmm.
We should have put it the other way, but that's another rule.
I saw that when I came in. Look at that, it works. Larry, it works. Mm-mm. Some internal organs are displaced, and so there's no room for the heart. If you don't know what your part is, it's pretty useless. And we can blame you for not doing or being something, or we can find out what it is you're supposed to do. Why don't we do that? I can try and teach like John Mick, and it'll never happen. And if we all teach like John Mick, then we miss everything else. And if everybody preaches and exhorts like I do, then we miss the profound teaching of John Mick. There's beauty in everything. These are gifts are not age-specific, not gender-specific. But it's the body functioning together. Now, concerning what comes from the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be led off to the idols that could not speak. Therefore, I'm informing you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes in the past, when we've been working with people who've been demonized, and some people have had the idea, if we can just get them to say Jesus is Lord, then we'll know that it's good. It's not some magical lip formula that you say or apply. Satan knows God's word. Satan knows Jesus is the Lord. And he can say the words Jesus is Lord, but he doesn't declare that Jesus is Lord in his heart. So it's not some formula. The spiritual life is not some formula. It's a daily walk. Now, I know some people teach and preach listening prayer. I think maybe people here do too. I don't know. That's fine. And for me, I get that, and I don't get it. And Ron and I often joke about this. He says, Dave, that's one of your bugaboos. And I says, well, for me, it from my understanding of it is that it's, well, I won't get there. Voice of the Holy Spirit said, Dave, don't go there. Sounds a lot like my wife. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries. What's that? But the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. Some of you people are woodworkers. I know that. Years ago, I had a piece of baseboard that I came across with this high, and it was maple, hard rock maple. And I looked at that piece, it was about 3 feet long. I tried to find it, I don't know. I put it away for safekeeping. And so it's real safe. What I liked about it is to look at it from a distance, it looked like just a piece of white maple. It didn't look like a whole lot. It didn't have any stain or anything on it. You rub water on it, or a clear lacquer, and you could see it was bird's eye maple. And the bird's eyes just jumped out at you. You could see them from across the room. And for me, that's an illustration. Here we are. When the Holy Spirit rubs his Spirit on us, we can all see exactly what you are. And it's beautiful. Without that, we don't. So there are different ministries of the same Lord, different kinds of activities, but the same God activates each gift in some people. No? What's it say? Everybody, each one. So is it exclude anybody? Can there be anybody who's not, the Holy Spirit doesn't activate? Anybody? No? Very good. Now, a demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of languages, to another interpretation of language, but one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. All of God's creation, all of nature obeys God perfectly, except people. We get to choose. We say, obey God? Who does he think he is? I don't like this gift. One of my favorite things in Rwanda was when it rains, because they have a tin roof and you can't hear anything anymore. So we all stop whatever we're doing, preaching, teaching, doesn't matter, it stops because you can't hear anything. Tin roof in a machine shed raining, you can't hear anything. But it's going to pass, so what do you do in the meantime? Well, you sing. Love it. And so one of the things that I loved is when that happened, I would just pause and I'd say, okay. And one of the singers would start singing a song, a cappella, just where he was. He would sing the one, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The love of God, you lost your cue. When I start over, you all join in. Now, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Thank you. You know, in a room full of men, it was mostly men we were with, when they start singing robustly, It just moves me. And then when we finished that and the rain stopped, I said, what do we do if the person who has the gift to sing and lead in singing says, I'm not going to sing. I want to preach. How come I can't preach? I should be the preacher. I'm not going to sing. I said, who loses? We all lose. We all lose. Each of us brings what it is that we have. In the next slide, there's a few things highlighted. And it's very helpful sometimes when you read a portion of Scripture to read it again and again and again and again and again and again. The epistles are letters. Read them in one sitting. Not all the time, but sometimes at least. At least sometimes. They're letters. Letters given to the church who had questions. How do we do life now that we don't have all these rules? They didn't know. And the Jews says, well, why don't we keep the rules? Because then we'll have order. And the saved and Spirit-filled, no, we're done with the rules. And so battle royal raged on. What do you do? And the epistles are God's gift to us, but how do you do it? Now, concerning what comes from the Spirit, so it doesn't come from Dave, doesn't come from Larry, doesn't come from Providence College, doesn't come from anywhere but from the Spirit. I don't want you to be unaware of what comes from the Spirit. A little further down, different gifts, but the same Spirit. Different ministries, but the same what? Lord. Different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. I never saw that before. Amazing. So there's different gifts. So the Spirit gives gifts. There are different ministries. The Lord gives ministries. And there's different activities. The Father gives activities. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each are gift givers. You know what gift-giving cultures are like, do you? Anybody? You have to bring a gift. And if you get a gift in a nice, neatly woven basket and it's got whatever in it, don't think ever that you would return the basket empty. That basket circulates the community. It's not about the basket. It's a gift that's inside. So this hit me. There's the same Spirit, different. Wow. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person. We live supernaturally. Naturally, we live supernaturally. Next slide. From the Spirit, different gifts, but the same Spirit, a demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person. So if I want to demonstrate the Holy Spirit, it's not really my choice. Now, one of those things the Holy Spirit has is miracles. You ever come across somebody who's really sick or something bad has happened, and you go, wow, Jesus, I remembered you used to do miracles. Do you ever pray and see a miracle? See, miracles are not... Well, the thing about the gifts, they're not for us. None of these gifts are for us, for me. Oh, you have a nice gift you gave me. Thank you. Well, it's not for you. It's for you to share. Every one of these gifts is not for you, but it's given to you to share. A demonstration of the Spirit. So in other words, the Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate to the world around what it looks like when the Holy Spirit invades this earth. When God's kingdom invades this kingdom, what does it look like? So we come across situations, and there we are, and something needs to happen. The Holy Spirit says, now I want this to happen. Oh, it's so scary. We curl our toes. What's going to happen? I'm starting to get over it. I just pray. Don't worry about it. I don't have some preaching, teaching, theological discussion about when I pray for healing. You know, God, if you want to heal, you can heal. I don't do that. No. God, you're the healer. On the next slide, we have, now concerning what comes from the Spirit, brothers, different gifts but the same Spirit. And we have different ministries but the same Lord. What's different from ministries to gifts? It's got to be different. Why would you name it? Doesn't explain it here. Does someplace else, but not here. See how it pulls you into the story? Now you got to dig it out. Next slide. And they're just different activities, but the same God. So we have gifts of the Spirit, ministries from the Lord, and activities from the Father. Next slide. The demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person. Do you know what your gift is? Spiritual gift. Do you know what ministries God has put into you? God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. All active. We read first that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come and take up their abode in us. Not just the Spirit. The Father, Son, and Spirit lives in us. Supernatural life. Daily activity of the Father. So we say, I'm going to go pray, and then God will do what he can do. I will do what I can do, and God will do the rest. Well, clearly you don't understand. You can't do anything. I, having at different times thought more highly of myself than I ought, I remember standing in front of the mirror one morning and shaving, and the Holy Spirit decided that he would touch me. He poked me in my back. I collapsed on the floor. I couldn't even get up. I'm going to do what I can do, and the Lord will do the rest. Dave, you can't even crawl out of the bathroom. That thinking, right? Or I'm going to pray, have my devotions and pray, and then I'll get on with my life, and if I have a problem, then I'll pray again. And the Father says, that's really a miserable way to do life. Why don't we do it together all day, all the time? And you go for a walk, and you walk through the woods, and you see things, and you learn things, and you walk outside and inside, and you learn, and you observe. And it's crazy with things you can see. So the daily activity of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, daily activity. There's spiritual gifts, activities, and what was the other one? Ministries. And then, you know the verse that says, to whom, if you're faithful with little, you'll get more. I think it applies to this stuff. It's often been taught about money. If you're faithful with a little bit of money, you get more. But typically, money is not the focus of what God is talking about. And blessing, yes, we say money is a blessing, and it can be, but it typically, no. It's more holistic. So what happens if you're faithful with what you already have, God will give you more. God will give you more. You want a gift of healing? You want to have the gift of miracles? I think that's great. And God says, I've been looking for somebody who wants that. Gift of prophecy? Years ago, Keith Miners was here. I don't know if anybody remembers Keith or not, but I remember, I went to India with him for 3 weeks. He was introduced everywhere as a prophet to the nation. Every time I would connect with Keith, we'd sit down and say, Dave, you got to give me a word from the Lord. Keith, you're the prophet. What's God's word for me? And he wouldn't let me go. I thought, this is just weird. But he was right. So pray for people. God will give you words and pictures. Share what it is you get. Not beyond, but what you get. And don't worry about it. And then pray. And I pray, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. I prayed for you guys all the time. Well, what do you pray specifically? I thought I just told you. For the Father's kingdom to come and will to be done. Well, what does it look like? I said, well, I know what it doesn't look like. And I'll know it when I see it, what it looks like. And the Holy Spirit will confirm, yeah, that's it. Only the Father could do that. When God's kingdom sets up camp inside of us, inside a community, it changes everything. We don't have to explain to people what we're doing. Because it's very, very attractive. So to each person. And so when I handed these out, at first I had a couple of envelopes that had nothing in them. And I was wondering, should I hand out ones with nothing in them? And then I didn't. I pulled them out. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, writing to these same people, challenging them on how they're living, he says, I can tell by how you're living, you're all leaders and spiritual leaders and Christians and all that, but by how you're living and behaving, everybody would say you're not. So are you even Christians? Paul is writing these same people and says, examine yourself. Are you guys even Christians? You're trying to figure out how to do all this stuff, how to do ministry, how to do all this stuff. And he says, are you born again? Because by your behavior, it doesn't look like it. The world is saying, Each of us has to examine ourselves. Years ago, I was asked, Dave, you think you're a Christian. Is there enough evidence to convict you? If you're hauled up in a court of law and it's against the law to be Christian, will there be enough evidence to convict you that you're a Christian? But the beautiful thing is this. The Holy Spirit moves. And we've all seen it and heard it through children. Andrew and Ruth Mick were in Steinbeck years ago, and they're praying. They felt God tell them they should move to Winnipeg. And how are we going to tell the kids? They're young, grade one and younger. Oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to tell them? And they're praying about it, and Simeon comes running up to Andrew and Ruth. They're there. They hadn't talked to him about anything. And he says, Mom, Dad, it'll be okay. But moving to Winnipeg, it'll be okay. What are you talking about? Well, I was playing downstairs, and Jesus came to see me. And he told me, you're going to move to Winnipeg and you can connect with your friends and still stay friends here. And it'll be okay. So Mom and Dad are trying to figure out what to do. Simeon's downstairs playing, and Jesus has the nerve to show up and talk to Simeon. And tell him, tell your Mom and Dad it'll be okay. Isn't that amazing? We listen. Older people, younger people, there's value in people. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for life. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son. The truth. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And Father, I thank you that all around Jesus, there's people who are hiding stuff, and I know that. I've been a hider. Whew. I know that. And Jesus, you said again and again, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You said if you walk in the light and have fellowship one with another, be truthful. Father, I pray for your love and the truth of your Spirit to fill us completely. That when there's wrong, when there's these things, Father, that we will just walk in the light. We'll be gracious and kind. Father, your kingdom come, and your will be done. In Jesus' name.